unlocked. Everybody say unlocked. Unlocked. And this is an important subject because so many of us don't realize what we have. We don't realize what God has given to us. And as I said just a few moments ago, friends, family, politicians, all those things can let you down. But God has made a way where there seems to be no way to get you out of trouble. How many here have been in trouble before and God's gotten them out of it? But in dealing with this subject, the enemy doesn't want you to realize what's unlocked. He doesn't want you to know that you truly are a champion in God's sight. I want to turn to and start this in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 7 through 9. I'll read this from the New Living Translation. As my daddy used to say, all the Bible translations are living. But it says this. The Apostle Paul had gone through some great revelatory knowledge. God had showed him a lot of things. So he's speaking from that perspective of what he had been revealed to him. Now watch. He says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. God can use anything to get your attention. I'll leave that right where it is. But Paul understood it. He asked three times, I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. There was none greater in the Bible than the Apostle Paul. Please take it away from me. Have y'all ever prayed that prayer? Please. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Do you understand what he's saying? My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Then I'm happy about my weaknesses then, God, because you're going to work through me so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is important verses because God unlocked some things for Paul. And he started to understand the revelation he had was far greater than the persecution he was facing. So whatever you're facing, the revelation of God is far greater than what you're going through. So most people think of their self. Now notice this wording I'm using here. Most people think because of their self-imposed spiritual emptiness that they need more. More what? More faith. More clarity. I wouldn't be going through this if I had more faith, more clarity, or more strength. Have you said that before? I need more. When God has already placed the key that you need in your hand. He's already placed that key in your hand. So we live in a generation, we live in a generation that feels stuck. Has anybody in here ever felt stuck before? We live in that generation where we really feel stuck, spiritually stuck or inadequate, emotionally stuck, financially stuck. We can all agree to that, right? And relationally stuck or inadequate. And we assume, and the assumption is this, watch this. Here's the assumption we make. Something must be missing. If I'm going through all this, something has to be missing. But I want to ask you this question. But what if nothing is missing? But what if nothing is missing? And what's really locked is our belief. That's what's been locked, is our belief. Not the God-given ability he's afforded to everyone seated here today. He's given to all of us a God-given ability. Let me clarify that a little more. He has intentionally given to us a power for our belief to stand upon. Intentionally. Not by mistake. He's intentionally given you something to stand upon. On Christ the solid rock I stand. I told Randy just a while ago, in the last 6 months, I've gotten closer to Jesus than I've ever been before. When I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm talking to Jesus. When I walk, I believe that Jesus is walking with me. He said, well, I don't believe. Well, you can believe what you want to believe. But I believe he sticks closer than a brother. And he'll never let go of your hand. That's what the Bible says. So he's intentionally given you something. This series is called what? This series is called Unlock, because we're not talking about hype or the unrealistic. I'm talking to you today about something that's very real, something that you can obtain. We're talking about keys. You have to have a key if something is unlocked. It's keys that all children of God have. If you're a child of God, you have the keys. Not someday keys. Well, I've got a someday key. Well, I don't need a someday key. If I go to my house and I open the door and it sometimes it works, I don't want that key anymore. I want to get the key that works every time I put it in the lock. Am I right? Yeah. So not just a someday key, and not when you're ready keys. Because in your mind, you may never feel like you're ready. So it's not when you feel ready keys, but it's the already given key. Say that back to me. It's an already. Now, the devil don't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to believe it. He may let you quote it, but he don't want it to get into your spirit. He doesn't want you to say, I know in whom I believe and I'm persuaded he is able. He don't want you to know that the door that's standing before you can be unlocked, and you have all the power in heaven and in earth to open that door. Your peace and prosperity and power, everything hinges on the key that you hold. But let's go on through this, because this is important. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, now this, all these verses I'm reading are important. This also from the New Living Translation. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need. Yes. Amen. I think I need to say that again. By his divine power, he's given us everything we need. Yes. Now, I don't know what everything means to you, but everything to me means that I have everything within my power to do whatever I need to do. By his divine power, God has given to us everything we need for living a godly life. Now, a godly life, I could preach a whole message on that, on a godly life, because a godly life is not a broke life. It's not a diminished life. It's not an underdog life. It's a victorious life. We'll leave that right where it is. But he gives us everything to live that godly life. We have received all of this. How did we receive it? By coming to know him. That's what I said, I'm getting closer to him. And the closer I get to him, the more fullness of God is dwelling in my life and in my body. And I know because of that, all my needs will be met through Christ Jesus. And there may be a few thorns I have to deal with in my flesh, but by God, I'm going to overcome those thorns. And if they stay there and remain there, there's a reason they're there, to keep my attention focused on Jesus Christ. Because sometimes we forget who helped us. We forget who saved us. We forget who delivered us. Am I right or wrong? Yes. Thank you. By coming to know him, the one who has called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Here is the key, one key. We have received all this that we're talking about today, by coming to him. When you come to him, he starts to give to you certain keys and the ability to use them. That's what that scripture is talking about. By coming to him, all these things, these authorities that we need in our life comes to us. I want you to notice in that scripture something that Peter didn't say or did say. Peter did not say, God will give, God will give. Now notice, he didn't say, God will give. That's futuristic. He didn't say, he says, God has given, which is present. Let me say that again. He didn't say, God will give, as future. He said, God has given, that's present. If God has given you something, it's in your hand. It's in your life. It's something that you can go to the bank with. It's something you can hold on to. Y'all still with me? If not, Christian, you preach to them. When I read that and I understood this, that it's not he will give, but he has given, that changes everything. It changes everything in my life. Everything that I see, the way I react and act. Everything, Randy. And you're healed, by the way. Why does it change everything? Because according to Scripture, we can only go by Scripture, can't we? According to Scripture, what we need is already there. And just because we are not using it doesn't mean that it's non-existent. How many of y'all have had something at your house and you're rummaging through some things, or you're doing spring cleaning or no cleaning, whatever you call it? And all of a sudden you're saying, I didn't know I had this. I'm sure. Especially you men with toolboxes. I didn't remember I had that. And some of you women with your shoes, I forgot I had that pair. I forgot I had that shirt. I forgot I had those pair of pants. Today I put on a shirt and I walked out and I said, man, I've lost weight. I was holding it out like this shirt I used to wear all the time and filled it up. I forgot that how fat I was. Now, I'm sorry if that offended anybody, because my wife told me today you can't say fat no more. But I'm still country enough that fat is fat. Sorry, Butch, but that's just what it is. And I was F-A-T, and that wasn't mean I looked, was beautiful. That's P-H-A-T. Are y'all with me now? Just because we're not using it doesn't mean it's not in your drawer. Doesn't mean it's not in your chest. Doesn't mean that it's not available to you, that it's non-existent. You think it is, but that's where you get in trouble. You start thinking things you shouldn't be thinking and saying things you shouldn't be saying, because then we start blaming God foolishly. God don't care. I've heard that many times. God don't care about me. Keep saying that. Just keep saying that. It's the biggest mistake you can make in your life, saying things of that nature. And some of us, we get down and we are earnestly in prayer about these things. And we're still praying and praying and praying and praying for what God has already provided. Go. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, heal me. And he said, by my stripes, you're healed. Now, we might have to live it out and walk it out, but I just stand on that promise. And even if I die, I'm healed. I'm completely healed at that moment in my life. You say, well, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Well, that's what I'm talking about, because then I'm standing with him. I mean, that's just fact. So we're begging God, praying for things that he's already provided. And when we pray, we're asking for permission. We are literally asking for permission for something God has already given us the authority over. We're asking for permission. And he's already given us authority, Pat. By the way, Pat, you look great. She fell, broke her hip, all fixed up, looks better now than she did before. I think God just wanted to do an overhaul on Pat. But I did say that if her and Collis fall anymore, I'm putting full body armor on them. I don't want to lose them. They're good people. But we need to quit asking permission for things that's already God has said, I've given you authority. These are keys. We're living beneath our privilege. I want you to think about what I just said from a scriptural foundation, from a scriptural reference. We're waiting for confidence. I have to have confidence before I make this statement or this move. We're waiting for confidence when God already deposited capacity. God deposited capacity. He gave you everything you need. You don't have to have confidence. It's there. It's there. Well, Bishop, I'll tell you one thing. I'm listening to you preach, and I have decided that I feel like I need a new key. Old one ain't working. Really? You need a new key. You don't need a new key. What do you mean? You need to use the one you already have. Many of us are like Pastor Mike back at the old church. He, and me too, we carry rings around with all these keys on them. And really, we only need one or two of them. So we have to fumble through all the keys we don't need to get to the one we actually need. And that's what we're doing spiritually. We've got bundles of keys. We keep asking for more and more keys, and we're not even using the ones we have. That's important. I don't need a new key. I just need to use the one God has already supplied. This is the dilemma we all live in. Let me tell you. We confuse lack of use with lack of supply. We confuse lack of use with lack of supply. And that's a mistake. That's a big mistake. Just because something seems to be, or something isn't active, let's say it that way. Just because something isn't active doesn't mean it isn't available. I mean, if your phone is not working, have you ever thought about turning it on? You say, well, I got an iPhone, Bishop, and it's just dead as a hammer. Have you ever thought about the button and turning it on or charging it up? It's not that the phone can't work. You can't work. And sometimes many of us, like we're like computers, we need a restart. We need a refresh. How many of y'all need a refresh? I think I do. We need a refresh in our thinking, a refresh in our thought process, and rethink of the church. Listen, the Church of Jesus Christ is a fabulous and marvelous thing. And I think it's been denigrated, it's been maligned. We've dealt treacherously with the church, and people have confused thinking that we're all that. We're not all that. He's all that. Amen. And that's why I'm here today, because he's all that, Debbie. He's all that. And why churches aren't filled on Sundays is because people have forgotten that he is all that. Yeah, went by this little church right down the hall here, and then they're just singing their hearts out, and one person was in there. One person. We were once a mighty church. What happened? Well, Bishop, it's your preaching. Your preaching has slipped. I'm preaching better now than I did before. And you have to understand, people lose interest too quick. When everything's not going their way and they're getting all the things they want, because they're not using the proper key, they start blaming God and blaming church and blaming their pastor and blaming their elders, blaming everybody around them instead of looking in the mirror and saying, you're the fault. you're the problem. Am I right?
Yes.
I have to do that to myself quite often. I'm the problem. If I'm not walking in faith, Damon, it's me not walking. It's not always. Now, God, it's Damon. Damon is not walking in faith, and that's why I'm having a bad day. No, it has nothing to do with Damon. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm looking at you. I mean, that's just fact. We're wanting great things from God, but we've got to be great toward God in order to get great things from God. Am I speaking truth today?
Yes.
This is important for you to hear. So just because something isn't active doesn't mean it isn't available. Let me give you a little illustration. If I get into a Corvette, they look now like Ferraris, and I sit in there with a full tank of gas, and the GPS is set, everything is great, everything is wonderful, and I never go anywhere. Well, this car is broken. No, it's because you haven't turned the key. Because of our inactivity, our passivity, we just don't turn the key. Sit on your motorcycle and go boom, 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 boom. It ain't gonna go nowhere until you turn the key. You have to turn the key. What do you mean? You have a key in your hand today on this Sunday morning. You have a key in your hand, but you must put it into the ignition and turn it on. What is the ignition? The promises of God. The confidence you have in God. You have to turn it on and watch it work. The key. The devil don't want you to know that. He wants you to be... We've been destroyed because of our lack of what? He wants us to live in ignorance. He doesn't want us to say, get you behind me, Satan. But remember, when you say that, say, in the name of Jesus. Because when you start talking and he's looking at just Alan, and Alan don't scare him at all. What scares him is, in the name of Jesus. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Let me take you to Luke 10:19. This is Jesus talking. Look, he says, I have given you authority over all the power. I don't know what all means to you. But if I go in and I walk in a restaurant and I say, I want all that's on the menu, you're going to get everything that's on that menu. Am I right or wrong? If you say that, all of it, they're going to bring you everything on the menu. He's trying to tell you something here. I'm going to give you everything on the menu. Look, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And you can walk among snakes, and some of y'all walk around snakes all the time. And you know what I'm talking about. You walk around with scorpions, and he says you'll crush them. Why? Because there's evil around us all. But then he says, nothing will injure you. What is the key there? You have to realize that you have the authority to crush it. You'll either crush or be crushed. It's decisions up to you. So, well, Bishop, if you could just pray for me, it won't do a thing unless you believe it. Jesus said to the man at the pool of Bethesda, he said, a crazy question after he's already been there, I think 30-something years, sitting by the pool of Bethesda, trying to jump into the water. He says something crazy. I mean, this is nuts. He looked at him and said, wilt thou be made whole? In other words, do you want to be healed? Well, some of y'all are smart, Alex. You'd have said, well, what do you think? I've been laying here for 30-something years. What do you think? But what Jesus had to hear was, yes, I want to be healed. Many of us haven't even done that. Well, I'll tell you, if it's God's will, if it's God's will, it's already God's will.
That's right.
Now, get this out of your mind, too. I'm sick on purpose. What? God didn't create you to be sick on purpose. He created you to be healthy on purpose. I'm happy today. Are y'all happy?
Yes.
How many of y'all feel a little sick in the body today, a little worn out? Pastor Mike's having it rough. I mean, it's somebody got colds and things of that nature. Just don't breathe on anybody. I want you to notice what I just read. If I have to read it again, I will. He said, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will end you. I want you to notice Jesus didn't say, I'll give it later. We're talking about an on-time Jesus. He didn't say, I'll give it to you later. He didn't say, well, once you mature, I'll give it to you. He didn't say that. He didn't say this one. I'm glad he didn't say this one. After you get it all together, if that's the truth, we'd never have it. After you get it all together. No, he said, I have given you authority, and that meant right then. I have given you authority. This is a gift. Hear me. It is a gift, but it is one that must be acted upon. You have to act upon it. At your home, I take the authority over any negativity in my house today. Pat, I believe you get up in the morning and say, I'm going to have a great day today and I will not fall. I will be healed. And you look better than you did before. I think God ought to smack us all down a little bit. I'm telling you, we need to do, you say, well, that's silly, Bishop. Silly for me to go around my house and do that. It's not really silly to the devil. You need to claim it, stake it, and claim it. Take hold of it.
Yes.
Today's my day.
Yes.
And I want to stake this. This is my last Sunday before. This is the last time for us to do everything in 2025 for us.
Yes.
2026 is coming next week. Let me stake a claim. I believe 2026 is going to be our best year ever.
Yes.
I believe that. I'm tired of waiting. Now, if I'm tired of waiting for something, what do I have to do? I'm going to take authority over it and get on and get it done. Amen? Turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you, not me. Randy, pull his cord up a little bit. Pull it up just a little bit. It's messing my anointing up. I hate wires. I'll give it later once you mature, after you get it all together. No, he said, I'm going to give you the authority right here and now, and I'm going to act upon it. Well, this may be true, Bishop, I'm hearing you, but you understand, I really believe it's if I had a better personality, Valerie. If I had a better personality, God would use me. I'm talking to you, Mike. If I had a better personality, God would use me. I'd be victorious if I just had a better personality. Authority is not about personality. Well, if I was just a little more perfect, you're never going to be that way. Authority is not about perfection. Here we go. Here's the truth. Authority comes from position, not performance. It comes from position. You have been positioned with authority. All you have to do is stand upon it. You have to use it. You have to demand and command these things happen in your life. And sometimes you just don't feel like it. Last Sunday when I got up, I was telling Randy, last Sunday morning when I got up, I really didn't think I was going to make it. Honestly, I felt that bad. I felt terrible. I said, God, I've got to go. I have to be there. And I didn't tell you that last week, but I'm telling you now, God had to touch me, and he did. Because I was going to go no matter what. I was going to make it happen. And you know what? I didn't have to make it. God made it.
Amen.
God made it happen. So authority comes from your position in Christ, not your performance. And belief is the key. You have to believe it. Believe to receive. Doubt you do without. That's the first thing I've preached when I was a young man 2 years ago. When you don't believe you have authority, you become a victim instead of a victor. When you don't believe it, we hear sermon after sermon after sermon. We've been more sermonized than any generation ever. And we're doing less for the kingdom than we've ever done before. What's happened? Has Jesus lost his ability? Has Jesus lost his flavor? No. We have lost our flavor. Listen, I look forward to being here on Sunday morning. I look forward to ministering his word. You know why? Because his word brings life. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. His word is so powerful. He says, when I speak a word, it shall not return unto me void. Am I right about that, Floyd? It shall not return unto me void, but it will do exactly what I send it to do. That's Bible. Every one of you in here has an angel assigned to you, whether you believe it or not. Every one of you. Some of you, I feel sorry for them. But every one of you has an angel. And the Bible says he'll give his angels charge over them, concerning them, to keep them in all their ways. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible says they hearken. I told Randy that this morning. The Bible says they hearken to the voice of the Lord or to the word of God.
That's right.
Isn't that right? They hearken to the word of God. And he says, my word shall not return void. So that means they're standing by you. But let me just say this. Some angels, maybe your angel, is standing here like this. And let me tell you why he's not moving or helping you or working with you. Because the Bible says they're ministering spirits. Am I right? So you theologians? You say, well, Bishop, if they're there then, they got their arms crossed. Why? Because you haven't called on the name of Jesus to activate them. If you don't activate them, the word is not going to come from God to activate them to work on your behalf. Does that make sense to anybody else? How do you activate your angel? Start talking to God. Say, I need him today. I need help. I need to be ministered to today. I need that ministering spirit. I need it. I'm not going to confess it. I want it every minute, every second, every hour of every day. I need Jesus. And I need, as I do in the morning, I thank God for the heavenly host that obeys his word. Because they're here with us. You say, well, my angel ain't done nothing for me. What have you done for him? Or her. What have you done? Have you talked to the Lord about it? Have you talked for an assistance? Well, I don't believe in angels. Well, believe me, they're there. They're there. I've seen them. And they're there. You say, well, I don't believe it unless I see it. No, you won't. You won't believe it if you see it. It's what Jesus said. Just because you see it don't mean nothing. You're an evil generation looking for a sign. Matter of fact, he said, you're a wicked generation who seek a sign. Well, I'm not going to be a victim. I'm going to be a victor.
Yes.
Here in our real world, how many people know we live in the real world?
Yes.
And this is where most people live, in this real world. They say things like this. I'm not spiritual enough to do that, Bishop. I'm just not spiritual enough. I don't know the Bible enough. And we keep waiting because I'm not spiritual enough. I don't know the Bible enough. Then they say, I'm not confident enough to lead. Then they say, someone else. Boy, that's that right there. That someone else. Someone else will get you in trouble. Who's going to clean the house? Someone else. Who's going to fix my car? Someone else. Who's going to put gas in my motorcycle? Someone else. Who's going to buy my wife a birthday present?
Me.
Someone else. Well, who's going to heal you? Someone else. What? You better get this right. Someone else is going to get you in trouble. Someone else will get you in trouble. Someone else, someone else, someone else could do it better. So what you're saying is, you're giving you a way out so you don't have to do it. You're just giving yourself a way out. You didn't really want to do it, so someone else will get it done.
Come on, man.
At work, here we go to work with that same mentality. You feel underqualified. Well, I'm just underqualified. At home, you feel overwhelmed. And in faith, you feel behind. I'm just behind everybody else. And somewhere along the way, now this is important, and all these thinkings and thoughts you have, somewhere along the line, a voice has convinced you. A voice has whispered in your ear and said, Debbie, you're not ready. You can't be healed. You're not ready. You're not ready. Has anybody ever heard this one? You're not ready. Now, let me just tell you, you're listening to the wrong voice, because it's not God's voice that's saying you're not ready. It's the voice of the enemy saying you're not ready because he doesn't want you to do it. Have you ever tried to give something to the Lord and that voice tell you don't do it? I learned from my father and I've done this, when the voice comes to me and tells me not to do something, that means I'd better get it done. Here's what I did. Whenever that voice comes, when I'm going to do something like that, I double it. Because I won't let the devil beat me. He's not going to tell me what I can do and cannot do. Matter of fact, I don't know about anybody in here, but the devil's not going to supply any of your needs.
That's right.
He's not going to bless you in one iota. He's not going to bless you at all. He's not going to heal you. He's not going to love you. He's not going to caress you. He's not going to comfort you. He's got one job: to kill, steal, and destroy. I'm preaching better than y'all are running today. Randy, you should be running around this place. So somewhere along the way, we've heard that voice, but the truth is, that's not a voice from God. Listen to this. Listen to this scripture I want to read you, and I want you to own it. I want you to own it. Okay? Here we go. Ephesians 2:10 in the New Living Translation. I want you to own this verse. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Created us anew. Created us anew. You're not the old Christian. You're not the old John. Or Butch. You're not the old Randy, the Randy I used to know 40 years ago, 50 years ago. You're not the old Larry that I used to know, thank God. You are his masterpiece. He has created you anew in Christ Jesus so we can do all or the good things he's planned for us long ago. God has a plan. It's in motion. And he set it into motion long ago. Before the foundation of the world, he knew Randy Harris would be sitting right there. He knew Butch would be sitting right there. Put your name there. He knew Tony Walker would be right there. He knew Damon Daniel would be right there. He knew Damon would be a supporter of the kingdom. He knew, I can name all of you. He knew you would be who you are. Because he's created you as a masterpiece. So what are you saying, Bishop? You are not an accident. The devil will try to prove you're just an accident. Mom and Dad jumped in the back seat of the car. I'm just an accident. No, no, you're not an accident. Matter of fact, let me say it this way. You're not a rough draft. Can anybody explain to me what a rough draft is, Denise?
your version of it?
No, you're going, what would you say a rough draft was?
Something that I have to do about 20 times before I get it right.
Imperfect try.
It's an unfinished. Thank you. It's unfinished. But you're working toward a finished product. You are not a rough draft. God said, I'm going to create Steve. Well, he is a rough draft. But I didn't create him to be a rough draft. So get that in your mind. You got to own this verse. You got to quote this verse to yourself. And remember, you are a masterpiece, a centerpiece. Yeah. God has set you apart. This is good stuff. Mm-hmm. You're not an accident. You're not a rough draft. Here's the one. You're not a backup plan. No. Jesus came, gave his life. There is no backup plan. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something you may not believe, but Adam and Eve sinning in the garden, it wasn't a backup plan. God knew they were going to sin before they sinned. And here's the reason why. He had to give man something that required, it had to be in place in order for him to receive the love and honor that's due his name. What do you mean? It's called free will. He had to give them free will. He had to give them choice. He had to, or it wouldn't be love. Love demanded or love commanded is not love at all. Am I making sense here? That's just fact. You say, well, God knows the end from the beginning. Yes, he does. He knew what was going to happen. And there is no backup. But Jesus wasn't the backup plan. Because the Bible says he was slain before the foundation of the world. What does that mean to you? That means he knew from the foundation of the world he was going to go to the cross. And if that's true, that means you are a masterpiece from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
All you had to do is make the choice to love him. Wilt thou be made whole? Will you follow me? It's all up to you. It's your will. Say it with me. I am God's masterpiece.
I am God's masterpiece.
Which means God didn't wait until you figured it out to decide that you were useful. He didn't wait for you to figure it out. He knows you're useful. He knows he's called you. He knows he's positioned you for great things. He planned your purpose before you ever doubted yourself. Before you had time to doubt yourself, he already planned your purpose because he already knew what you were going to do when you did it. And now he's making a way where there seems to be no way. Are you seeing how God works through his scripture? He's just showing you that, look, you can make this hard on yourself or make it easy on yourself. My daddy used to say that. Son, you can make it hard on yourself or easy on yourself, which meant, translated, I'm going to beat your butt. And that's the hard part. If that offended anybody, I'm sorry. But it offended me greatly when he did it. That's the truth. He already knew all the, before I doubted myself, he knew and made a way. Look at David, the King David that wrote so many beautiful scriptures. When he showed up on the battlefield, he did not look qualified. He didn't look like he had anything going his way. He didn't look like no powerhouse. They were mocking him. Even Goliath mocked him, said, you're going to send this nothing out to me? I'm going to feed him to the birds. Well, he was too young. He didn't look qualified. He was too young. He was too inexperienced and too overlooked. And Saul even tried to put his own armor on him. And David says, I can't use it. Why? Because it doesn't fit. David defeated Goliath, watch this, with what David didn't defeat Goliath with what he borrowed. He defeated Goliath with what he had in his hand. A sling and a stone and confidence in God. A sling, a stone, and confidence in God. That's powerful. So what are you saying? God always works with what's in your hand already. not what you lack. He doesn't deal with what you lack. He deals with what's in your hand. Here's a key truth that you need to listen to. God will never require something from you that He hasn't already placed within you. He'll never require something from you that He hasn't already placed within you. If He's requiring it, that means it's in you, Steve. It's in you, Chris. It's in you, Gerald. It's there. You just have to access it. Access. You can have a powerful computer, but if you don't have the access code, what are you going to do? Nothing. It becomes a boat anchor because you don't have the access. So you may feel stuck. I feel stuck. You may feel stuck because God hasn't moved. Or maybe you feel stuck not because God hasn't moved. Say it that way. But because you've underestimated what He's given you. It's not about whether God moved or didn't move. It's you've underestimated what He's given you. I think we just underestimate it. We come to church today, well, I'm going to go see Bishop what he's got to say today. Not realizing we're in the atmosphere of God. Amen. We're in the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. We're listening to words that can transform our life. Just like Jesus did with that guy at the pool of Bethesda. He didn't feel nothing. He didn't feel no Shekinah and shaking. He just said, well, you made a whole. Now watch this. He said, this wasn't even part of the sermon, but he said, rise, take up your bed and walk. What? That's it? I don't feel nothing. Until he started to rise. Good stuff. Here's the truth that'll set you free and give you the breakthrough you need and I need. When you realize God has been preparing you longer than you thought. He's been working on you, brother. You notice strength where you used to see weakness. You see obedience where you once saw apathy. You walk into situations with quiet confidence instead of fear. My daddy never walked into anything with fear. My daddy just didn't know fear. He just didn't. He was confident when he walked into a place. He's my hero, my earthly hero. Jesus is my heavenly hero and my earthly hero. But he could walk in anywhere in any group of people and he took control. He just did. Why? Because he had a relationship with Jesus Christ. So how do I live this out? Here we go to some practicality. You ready? How do we live this out? Name the lie. What kind of lie have you been following and listening to? Name it. What lie have you believed about yourself? I'm not enough. Keep saying that, and you won't be. I'm behind. Keep saying it. I missed my moment. Start replacing those things with truth. God has given me everything I need. If I don't have it, I don't need it. Amen? If I don't have it, I don't need it. Because if I needed it, God would already given it to me. See, well, if I'd have won that Mega Millions or whatever it was, that Powerball, I would really be a blessing to the kingdom of God. Probably you wouldn't. If you're not a blessing now, you wouldn't be a blessing then. You'd find every reason in the world why you couldn't be here on Sunday and where you're going to be in Aruba or in Cabo or over in the Mediterranean. You'd find every reason in the world. That's why God, what can He trust you with? That's key. What can God trust you with? Then after you've named the lie, identify what you already have, what you've already obtained. What do you mean? Start to name some strength God has already placed in your life, things that you sense, like wisdom. I'm giving you some points. Some wisdom, maybe compassion, maybe some resilience, maybe some leadership. Maybe you had some faith under pressure. Have you ever had faith when there was pressure? Hear this. You didn't survive what you survived by accident. Right, Deb? You didn't survive what you survived by accident. It was by design. Even when you hit that deer, it was by design. God help me. Last but certainly not least, this is important. We need to start praying with authority.
Amen.
Some of us are not praying with any authority whatsoever. God, if you be willing. Lord, if you need to whip me up, just whip me up. I know I'm not good enough. That kind of praying is going to get you nowhere. Stop praying like you're begging. Who's got a dollar in their pocket? You got a dollar? You got a dollar in your pocket? Give it to me because I'm tired of you having it. Just $1. Just hand me $1. Oh, he's getting me a 20. Good. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Keith, I'm begging you today, son. I'm begging you, for God's sake, give me $20. I need $20, Keith. Come on, give it up, son. He's looking at me like I'm crazy because I've got the $20 in my hand. And that's what we're doing to God. God, I need healing. You got it. I need salvation. You got it. I'm not worthy. You got it. You got everything you need. What are you crying about? What are you begging for? Quit begging. You don't need to beg God. He didn't call you as a beggar. He called you as a king and a prince and a princess. Did that make sense to anybody in here?
Yes.
Start praying like you're equipped. Start speaking life and quit speaking death. Speak scripture.
Yes. Yes.
Learn some scriptures or read them and then speak it in your prayer.
Right.
And start to speak boldly. But you know what, Bishop, I don't feel. You know what? You may not feel. How many people in here are married? Raise your hand. How many wished you weren't? Raise your hand. Nope, don't do that. I saw that over there. Listen, I may not feel married, but I'm going to promise you, let me transgress that marriage, and she's going to tell you about it. That goes for everybody in this room. You may not feel married, but if you went before God and his company and you went up there and swore to an oath, you are married. You may not like it, but you're married. Chris, I'm sorry, son. So you see, feelings can lie to you. Because if you're married, you're married. My God, I hope you're catching some of this today. Some of us have been standing, and I have oft times, some of us have been standing, I'm almost closing now, almost. Some of us are standing in front of a locked door. It can be whatever, health, finances, whatever. You're standing in front of a locked door and asking God, oh God, when are you going to open it? And God's saying, dummy, turn the key. Just turn the key. The Bible says, call on me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not of. But you got to call.
Yes.
You're not waiting for clarity. You're not waiting for permission. I have to have permission. You're not waiting for strength. You're holding the key already. Say this with me. I am equipped.
I am empowered.
And I am unlocked.
I am
And I'm ready to get it done. Now hear this from your bishop. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop what God has started and what he has empowered you to be. A vessel of light. I'll close with these statements. And I say this for myself too. I'm not limited by my past, my strength, or my resources. I'm not limited by that. I'm standing in what God has already made available intentionally. Everything God has he's provided everything. He's made everything available. He's empowered us to walk in these things through Christ Jesus. It's ours, Randy, whether we realize it or not. So it's there. You may not realize you're married, but you're married. You may not realize you have child support, but you have child support. You may not realize what you bought on your credit card last week or 2 weeks ago for Christmas. You may not know it, but you're going to find out you owe some money. You may not feel it, but it's there. But I thought that was funny money. I thought I could do whatever I wanted to do. No. Whatever you spent on that card, you're going to have to pay back. It's ours whether we fully realize it or not.